Let me start by thanking the Energy Charter Secretariat for choosing the WTO as its venue. We are happy to be your partner in fostering dialogue on the energy and all its associated trade issues. I know, Selim, that you were instrumental in putting this workshop together, and can only say that the WTO membership benefits from the twin hats that you wear in being both Turkey's ambassador to WTO with the task of chairing the negotiating group on trade and environment, which is not an easy assignment, as well as chairman of the Energy Charter Conference, which I hope is an easier assignment. I'm not going to make a long dinner speech about why energy is an essential enabler of human well-being, and why it is therefore incumbent upon us in the international community to explore every possible avenue to maximize the benefits of international cooperation to achieve our energy policy objectives. In a previous speech on the topic of energy and trade, my main message was that a stronger WTO rulebook could lead to significant benefits for the energy sector. I've carefully reviewed this sort of position, and my conclusion is that this message is as valid today as it was when I voiced it roughly 2 years ago. And what I would like to do in this morning's few remarks is to focus on the more immediate contribution which the WTO could make to ongoing deliberations about improving global energy governance. And what I would like to do is consider the multiple benefits that both the world trading system and the energy policy community could derive for a more robust dialogue in the World Trade Organization on this growing interaction between trade and energy. Starting with this obvious that it is difficult to think of many areas that are as closely linked to trade as is energy. It serves as an essential input to the production of goods and services, and hence has an important effect on the country's comparative advantage and on the composition of international trade flows. Energy powers the movement of goods and people across borders. Without energy, there is basically no international trade. But this relationship is dual. While energy is vital for trade, trade is also critically important for energy. Open, predictable, transparent trade has an important role to play in achieving the international community's energy goals, including improved access and sustainability. And this and other energy policy goals often have political, geostrategic, social, environmental dimensions, all of which are, in my view, closely interconnected, and all of which confront us with a need to improve international cooperation. And although trade is only one part of achieving those goals, it can make an important contribution by enhancing access to different energy producers, to different technologies, allowing energy supply to expand and travel more readily from countries where there is an energy surplus to countries where there is excess demand. So given this two-way relationship between energy and trade, it's paradoxical in many ways that the multilateral trading system has not done more for energy. Several factors underline this paradox. Some of them are permanent, deeply rooted sovereignty, strategic concerns that cause some reluctance on the part of resource-rich countries to commit to international disciplines. These factors have been there and, in my view, will remain. But other factors may be changing. This is the case of the growing representation of big energy actors in the WTO, which could eventually raise the attention paid by the WTO to energy issues. Saudi Arabia, Russia, Ukraine have now become WTO members. Other important energy producers, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Algeria, Libya, Iran, Iraq, Sudan, are in the process of acceding to WTO. The WTO is by no means separated from the world of energy. The purpose of the WTO, its structure, the content of some of its rules, underpinned by the longstanding principles of non-discrimination, transparency, predictability, greater market openness, are directly relevant to address many of the issues confronted by the energy sector. Among the trade restrictions that seem particularly relevant for energy are subsidies that distort trade, at least subsidies to producers, certain practices by state trading enterprises, exclusion from participation in government procurement markets, transit restrictions for transporting energy, restrictions on exports, restrictions on investment, restrictions on the movement of energy service providers. WTO disciplines addressed many of these issues, although not always by design, and certainly not as an overarching approach that takes into account multilaterally agreed energy policy objectives. So thus, when thinking about how the WTO could most effectively contribute to the energy goals of the international community, the relevant question is not whether the existing WTO framework is relevant and applicable to trade in energy goods and services, for it clearly is. Instead, I think we need to ask ourselves how the WTO contribution can be further improved, given rapid changes in the energy policy landscape and the international community's goals regarding energy. And the question is therefore one of coherence along the lines of the findings of the recently released report of the panel on defining the future of trade, which I convened last year and which the report of which was issued last week. So this involves exploring how existing WTO rules could be better used as part of a broader effort to improve global energy governance, and I trust that your deliberations will start to direct us towards solid, analytical, fact-based answers to this question. Nonetheless, we also must be cognizant of the political reality that the World Trade Organization's approach to energy will not change overnight. And this reality calls, my sense, for a parallel reflection on practical means in which the WTO can support, in the short and medium term, efforts to improve global energy governance while we reach this critically important but arguably more distant goal of a holistic approach of energy in the WTO system. And on this, let me be direct. What is, in my view, sorely lacking in the current WTO context is a constructive and forward-looking discussion among members on the rapidly expanding trade and energy interface. There's nothing like such a discussion presently, and I believe it is a prerequisite to build up the necessary consensus on the WTO's future role in global energy governance. And in fact, the absence of such discussions is depriving the energy policy community from much needed expertise from the trade policy community on how trade fits in the evolving energy picture. Now, what could be a few items on a sort of to-do discussion list. Clean energy, fossil fuel subsidies, just to take two examples to illustrate the interface between trade and energy in areas which, let's say, are becoming hot topics internationally. Starting with the example of clean energy, given the trajectory of world GDP and population, we all know that global energy needs will hugely increase in the next decade, mostly as a result of a growing energy demand in emerging economies. Now, I think we all know that we must reconcile the fact that this planet will need more energy with the incontrovertible knowledge that current patterns of energy use are harming this planet. Greater energy efficiency, cleaner energy will play a central role in moving the world onto a more secure and sustainable energy path. A growing number of governments realize this, have put in place incentives to stimulate the production of energy from clean sources. These measures have been, let's say, variously justified on the basis not only of environmental concerns, but also of broader policy goals such as stimulating economic growth, spurring job creation, or even promoting export diversification. Now, from the perspective of future trade and the WTO, the risk is that the intertwining of green and new industrial policy objectives may increase the vulnerability of renewable energy incentives to lobbies and sort of move to rent-seeking behavior, or even result in flawed design due to the lack of sufficient information by government to achieve multiple and often vaguely defined policy objectives. This could exacerbate the possible adverse trade effects of some types of incentive measures and even undermine their intended environmental effectiveness. The WTO dispute settlement has already been seized by disputes on renewable energy, and on this I have to be very careful about my comments, but meanwhile, a discussion on the trade-related aspects of measures to promote clean energy, which is both rooted in political reality and informal, remains almost completely absent of the WTO, in spite of the existence in the organization's institutional structure of a dedicated fora for such discussions. The dispute settlement mechanism, in which WTO judges adjudicate conflicts within existing WTO rules, is a critically important element of the system, and we all know that, but in my view, it cannot substitute for consensus building, forward looking dialogue, and rule making. Similarly, if I take the other example that come to my mind, which is the ongoing political debate on reforming fossil fuel subsidies, this is largely it has largely bypassed the WTO. The surge in world energy prices in recent years has drawn high-level attention to these fossil fuel subsidies, including by the G20, and I have seen that. The link between subsidies, energy consumption, climate change has added a new dimension to this debate. And given that WTO members have decided to tackle the issue of environmentally harmful subsidies in the fisheries sector as a part of the Doha Round, the absence of such a topic from the WTO radar screen can be considered, and this is my personal view, as a missed opportunity. Meanwhile, WTO members have not yet capitalized on the opportunities offered by the first ever multilateral negotiations on the environment, in particular the mandate to open trade in environmental goods and services. Many of these goods and services, whether solar panels, solar water heaters, hydropower turbines, equipment for biogas production, environmental consenting services, have a direct application in clean energy and energy efficiency. By reducing barriers on these goods and services, WTO members would provide each other access at a lower cost to a greater variety of clean energy technologies. Rapidly completing these efforts would have tangible benefits from development, environment, and trade point of view. Now, these are two examples where I believe a deeper discussion by the WTO members would be welcome. There are many others, and I'm sure you will come with more ideas on what sort of spectrum of energy and trade relations, new issues to discuss could be. Let me conclude by reiterating that since its inception, the WTO, through its rules, its transparency apparatus, its peer review system, its enforcement mechanism, can and does contribute to global energy governance, but this contribution could be further strengthened through, again, a more holistic approach to energy, which strikes the right balance between the needs of energy exporting and energy importing countries. This organization offers its members, I think, the right forum to engage in a forward-looking dialogue on this rapidly expanding interface between energy and trade. This could be useful in helping to chart a common way forward towards greater mutual supportiveness and coherence between trade and energy policy objective. And I regard such supportiveness, such coherence, such convergence as essential features of more efficient, more effective global energy governance framework, which I think this planet decisively and urgently needs. Thank you for your attention.